Well, good morning. Some of you may know me, some of you may not. My name is Patrick Werner, a follower of Christ. I'm glad to be sharing the message with you this morning. I will say this morning, we're walking on thin ice, all right? I'm flirting with a cold, so we're going to play a game. If you see me rear up and cough, you cover your ears before I blow you out with this microphone, okay? And online, you guys hit the mute button if you see me getting ready to cough. I think I can make it through, but I apologize if I end up coughing with a microphone on. As I said, I'm honored to be here with you guys today. I'm always eager to share God's word. And I hope that he will be praised and will be encouraged as followers of Christ this morning. Before I begin my sermon, I ask that we bow our heads and pray. Lord, may this morning glorify you. May it be a call on all believers to share your praise with another generation, to praise you for who you are and for your mighty deeds. We love you, and we are thankful for your love towards us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I was preparing the sermon a few weeks ago, to be honest, at first I thought a sermon about praise, praising God and his deeds. On the face of it, that is a simple task. Each generation praising God and his greatness and his deeds to another generation. Relatively self-explanatory, but instead, this has been one of the most difficult sermons I've had to write. I was really confused why a sermon about praising God would be difficult. But you know, as we read the Bible, we see over and over some faithful people praising God, being aware of his righteousness and sharing his great deeds with the generation around them. And we also see God's people wandering away from him, focused on distractions of the world and maybe their thoughts of self-importance. And so I ask myself, do I praise God consistently? Or do I get distracted? Do I praise things other than God? And so my hope this morning is that we can reflect on these questions and figure out how we can honor God and praise him to the next generation. Well, I came to the conclusion there's two general stumbling blocks that stand in my way. Maybe they stand in yours. To consistently praising God the way he deserves it, and sharing those praises to other generations so they can understand it. One is when life is going well. I believe the false assumption that it's because I'm making the right decisions. I am controlling my destiny. I am a problem solver. If you have a problem, you come to me and I can solve it. And I think there's days that when my problem solving is firing on all cylinders, God is good, but I'm the central character in the blessings of my life. That's not true. The second general stumbling block is when life is hard. When it seems like the walls are falling down around me. I tend to see only the struggle, the pain, and the grief. And I lose sight and don't take time to refocus on God and his greatness and his provisions for me. So my hope today is that we can remind ourselves that no matter what place we find ourselves in, we keep in perspective of who God is. And we praise him to another generation, so that they know of his goodness and his majesty and his generous provisions towards us. So before I move on, I do recognize that sitting here today or online Many of you have lived or are living through grief and sorrow I cannot even imagine. And everybody here needs to understand that at some point you're going to experience grief. You're going to experience disappointment, and you might experience tragedy. This is the result of a world that is broken. So I'm going to share the following part of my life as a way to show the glory of who God is, the one who acts before we're even aware of it. His deeds are great even in the midst of sorrow. And for me, my past year has been one of sorrow. As I look in the place of this generational process of finding and walking with God and praising Him to another generation. Nine months ago, my father died and my sister in my arms. Something that we knew was coming, but not as quickly as it did. My father's death has had a powerful impact on my life and my faith journey. I remember the night before, I decided I was going to stay up all night. I sat next to him, never fell asleep, and I just watched and prayed. I was trying to provide some sort of comfort. And that next morning, the sun came up. I was grateful to God, and I went to lay down for a few minutes. As soon as my head hit the pillow, Amy comes running in and tells me that my sister needs me. And the next moment, my father's gone, which was devastating and life-changing. Within a couple weeks, another blow happened. Our family had to deal with the sorrow and grief of putting my mother into a memory care unit because of her dementia. So for me, the generation that had loved and taught me was gone. Just a memory. And I cried out in sorrow many days and nights. And to be honest, there's still times today that I do. Calling for God's provision, for His help, for needing Him to show up. But this is how good God is. Through my grief and tears, I was able to realize God's grace and His provisions. He was always there for me. I refocused and I saw God's boundless love and Him providing for what I needed at the moment. Now, I didn't ignore the pain or the sorrow. Instead, I leaned into it because it was a sign of God's love for me. God had already provided what I needed. Before these painful events, God had given me my parents. The people who taught me about God's love and His blessings by the way that they lived to prepare me for this moment of pain and sorrow. And I praise God for that. God also placed brothers and sisters here to carry me through in prayer and comfort and to share God's truth with me. Again, God's provision and grace. I praise Him for that too. Friends, God is good. He sees and knows all. He's preparing and providing for us even when we don't realize it. When we refocus on God's greatness, we're able to see how He is and always has been working in our lives. And I've seen God through these pains and sorrows in my life. And I want other generations here to know the absolute truth that even though sorrow, unspeakable grief, and disappointments are going to happen in our lives, God is ready to work through it all, to show His glory in us. Don't the generations around us deserve to know He will indeed provide for us when we're knee-deep in grief? You know, on the opposite end of the spectrum, when things are going well, there's a tendency to overlook God, the provider. We get lost in the temporal joys of our lives. I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy what God has created. We should. Whether it's a sunset, for me, the smell of the leaves in fall, or holding hands with a loved one. We're to enjoy those blessings. But let us recognize where they come from, because it's not from us. The fun, happy moments in our lives are blessings of God. Let's make sure we give God the glory as we enjoy those moments. God is good, my friends, all the time. So how do we share praising God forever and ever to other generations? Well, the Bible's full of examples. I think King David, Psalm 145, is a great example, and that's what we're looking at today. The last psalm attributed to King David. And David was a fallible human being. He coveted, committed adultery, murdered. He experienced anxiety. He experienced the loss of a child. He also was a giant slayer and the greatest king of Israel. But more importantly, David was a man after God's own heart. So as we look at Psalm 145, remember that we're a continuation of the generational praising of God that we read in this psalm. Verses 1 through 3. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I don't know how much better you can put it. Friends, God is the only King in our lives. He deserves praise. He's the creator of everything. He is wise. He is merciful. He is loving. He is gracious. He is just. And He is patient. Isn't that worthy of our praise every day? David in verse 4 says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. I'm not going to look down here. All right. One generation. That's what I want us to pay attention to. One generation commends your works to another. This is not a top-down approach. It doesn't mean that the oldest generation is the only one that gets the joy of sharing. It's every generation. Each person here is to commend, and commend means formally praise God. Each person here is to commend God to another generation. So wherever you are in your walk, if you came to Jesus 50 years ago or yesterday, you can praise God to others. We're all called to encourage and enlighten each other about the grace and the glory of the Lord. Verses 5 to 9. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. and he has compassion on all that he has made. So here's some questions. I love to ask questions. Do we meditate on the splendor of God enough? When was the last time you gave God praise for a sunrise or a sunset? Being able to look at a loved one and either say or hear the words, "I love you," is that worthy of praising God? Holding your child or your grandchild, feeling your parents or grandparents hug you, is that worthy of sharing your praise of God to others? Brothers and sisters, these things are some of the most beautiful and great and wonderful works that God has given us. He deserves that praise. In verses 14 to 20, David speaks of God's goodness. I'm going to paraphrase here. He upholds those who fall down. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He's the only one that can satisfy our desires. He is righteous. He is faithful. Near to those who call on him. He hears our cries. He watches over those who love him. Man, these are beautiful truths of God. When you call on the Lord, when you cry out to him for help, he does hear you, and he is near you. It doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the sorrow. But God is there. He has, and he will carry you through the fire. He provides for you, whether preparing you for trials in your life or to refine you while you are in that fire. God is good, and people need to know it. You know, verse 20 is interesting. David throws a little something in here. He says, "But the wicked he will destroy." All praising God, and then he talks about destroying the wicked. This is an encouragement to believers that evil will not prevail. God has already won the battle. And at the same time, it is a warning to those who are on the fence of believing and following Christ, or those who openly oppose God. If you reject God, he does listen to you. And he allows you to choose your own fate. God has provided the only way to himself with the sacrifice of his only son. All are welcome, but you need to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. And guess what? Your profession of faith certainly is private. It's between you and God, but it's also a public praise of who God is. And praise is meant to be spoken. It is meant to be public because God deserves it and people need to hear it. Finally, in verse 21, David sums it all up. This is what he was committed to do. "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." Are we committed to that same desire in our lives? Are we committed to praising him forever and ever? How do people know who God is if we don't speak about him? If we don't praise him to others? Our hesitancy to share the truth about God is a risky game. Are you afraid of offending people? You don't want to be controversial? It's not your gift? Whatever your hesitancy is, you better ask yourself, does God deserve the praise of all the things in my life? And the next question is, do those who I have relationships with have a right to know about God? Do they need to know about God? Well, how can they believe if they do not hear? And how can they hear if you do not speak? Praising God is something He deserves. And your children and your grandchildren and your parents and your grandparents and your extended family and your friends, they need to know. They need to know who God is, His greatness, and how to praise Him in all situations. Each generation has the joy and responsibility to show this in their lives. We can do this. It's not that hard. I'm talking to myself just like I'm talking to you. It requires us to refocus on where our help comes from, where our joys come from, and sharing that praise in a relational way with those around us. God is gracious, He is good, and He indeed is beyond comprehension. But what we do know is this. God created the world and it was good. Man's choices broke the way the world was supposed to function. And sin, brokenness, sorrow, and death entered. But God is compassionate. And He so loved the world that He sent His Son to live a perfect life, to die for our sins, and to save those who want a relationship with God. Each one of us who knows the truth should be praising God for His creation, for His love, and for His provisions for us. And His grace and mercy given to us through Jesus Christ. So the next time you hug a loved one, praise God out loud for that blessing. The next time you see something beautiful, thank God for His creation. When you experience grief and sorrow, cry out to God. Mourn with God. And in time, thank Him for the gift that you lost. Thank Him for the opportunity to experience what you are grieving over. Let us commend God and His works to another generation. Refocus and chase God's heart. Let us praise God forever and ever. Let us pray. Lord, we praise You this morning. We love You, and we will praise Your works to another generation. Give us the words to share with those around us and to remind us of Your splendor and Your great deeds. We thank You for who You are, our Creator, our Father, our Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us when we are unlovable, for freely going to the cross and dying for us, for each person here, and for everyone who declares You Lord and Savior. Amen.